Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said here's a good way to reduce the number of mistakes you make at work. Get there late and leave early. We appreciate this opportunity of studying with you today from the Word of God. We're glad you listen to Bible meditations. Our study this week has been in regard to a passage found in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. The account is the account of Mary Magdalene coming to the tomb after Jesus has been crucified and finding the tomb empty. Of course, the explanation of that was in that Jesus was raised from the grave. The tomb was empty because he was no longer held by death, but rather came forth victorious and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection. But Mary's explanation concerning this was this as she talked to Peter and John. They've taken away my Lord, and we know not where they have laid him. In other words, she was concerned about his physical body, what had happened to him. You and I today can look about us in the world and see that the Lord has been removed in a number of different ways. He has been taken away, and we need to restore him to his right position. We talked about his authority and how that others are substituting for the authority that he has. God did not intend that his son take second place unto any man. Rather, he gave to him to be head over the church, Colossians 1 and verse 18, and in being head of the church, he had preeminence. That was God's order, and when anyone today takes the Lord away from that position of authority, then we must say, like Mary Magdalene, they've taken away my Lord. I believe that the Lord has the right to dictate what we do in regard to how to be saved, in regard to our activities in our worship, or in our everyday conduct. The Lord is the standard, not the standards that have been advanced in opposition to him. There are some people who would just freely admit to you what they do in religion. They do because their human creed book says that's the thing to do. It's not that there's Bible authority for it, or that the Word of God through Jesus has given to us what we need to do along those lines. But it's rather that they have thought they have the authority to change or to alter or to add or take away from the Word of God. So they've taken away the preacher, the Lord, from the teachings and from the things that are commanded by him. The word of the preacher is sometimes used in opposition to what the Bible says. Someone will say, oh yes, I know the Bible says a certain thing, but my preacher said, and then they'll go ahead with that which is spoken by their preacher. Well, friends, the preacher has no authority to speak except as the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. In those verses, that's four verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul pointed out that the preacher is authorized only to preach the Word of God. He has no authority to preach the doctrines and commandments of men, but the Lord has been taken away from the authority that God has given to him. Again, the Lord has been removed from our periods of worship unto God. The Lord has told us that worship, in order to please God, must meet this criteria. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Those two requirements are necessary for our worship to please God. For a person to worship not observing those requirements would be equal or paramount to taking the Lord away. They've taken the Lord away. They've removed Him from the matter of worship. Let's look at those phrases, spirit and truth. The word spirit just simply means it comes from the heart. What we're saying is what we're thinking, and what we sing and what we pray and what we do in our worship unto God comes from the heart. In Matthew 15 and verse 8, Jesus said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." In other words, they're not thinking about the thing they're doing. Worship must involve our thinking seriously about what we're saying. Sometimes we sing songs of praise to God, and there are songs that we're very familiar with. Therefore, we're able to go through the words of the song without even giving any thought to what is expressed in that particular song. Well, that certainly does not lead for worship that pleases God. God wants that worship to be in spirit, that is, with our heart in what we're doing. So when a person draws near to God just with their mouth, when they honor Him with their lips, but their heart is not in it, Jesus said, it's vain worship. Well, sometimes the songs that we sing that imply to the world about us that we're putting the Lord first in our lives, it's not hard to figure out that sometimes the Lord doesn't come first. We allow Him to be secondary. But we must mean what we say in our worship unto God. The second requirement was that it is to be in truth. And that simply means according to the Word of God. Worship is not a matter of me deciding what God wants me to do and then doing it, but rather is a matter of me finding what God has authorized and what God wants me to do as authorized in the Word of God. You see, there are many things that a person may decide he'd like to do in worship, but that isn't the question. The question is, what is it that God has said would please Him? And when we look into the Bible, we find the kind of worship that would please our God. But if we remove that kind of worship and we do things without authority from God, then we can say like Mary of old, "They've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've placed Him." The point being that the Lord is the one who is the authority in religion, and we sing songs of praise to Him. We pray and we teach the gospel. And we commune on the first day of the week and give of our means because the Lord authorized that we do those things. The addition of other things is taking the Lord out of the picture. We appreciate this opportunity of study today. Please be with us again tomorrow. We remind you it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.